Okay, so hi everyone. So yeah, today it's a pleasure to have Yangbing Yang, who works in Paris. And maybe Yangbing, I can let you introduce yourself and after.
Yeah, okay. I'm Yangbing Yang at Paris Observatory, working at Paris Observatory at GP. I work with François Hammer for a long time. We're working on the dynamics of galaxies and now focusing on the dynamics in the local group from all different kind of objects from M31 till the smallest galaxies or global cluster even recently. So we are very, very interested in this topic. Yeah, I mainly work on the numerical simulations, hydrodynamic simulation on a galactic scale with the merger of galaxies and the dynamics of a dwarf galaxy in the Milky Way interaction. So yeah, roughly my CV on this relevant part. So if you agree, I started the talk. Hello?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Hello, everyone. So very happy and to be invited to give a talk about our recent work and discovery of ground pressure stripping evidence in WLM. This is a dwarf irregular galaxy in the near the at the edge of the local group. So it is classified as a very isolated galaxy. I'm going to represent the work here. So there's two names here, François Hammer and Claude, who are a good friend also, who are important people who lead in the work and who lead in the project. So I'm going to talk about this aspect, the process of this discovery. So first, I make short introduction about this galaxy. First, where it is located. So on the first, on the top panels, I just plot the in the space near this galaxy centered on the Milky Way, so galactocentric coordinate, and where you can see the WLM is located. And the scale here is 1 meg, almost 3 by 3 megparsec cube. And you can see the distribution of the galaxies that we know here. You can see M31, M33, and Milky Way. And these are bright galaxies, as indicated in the lower panel, you can see. If we plot a diagram, the distance to the WLM versus the magnitude brightness, you can find that the nearest bright galaxy only M33 and Milky Way are located very far from the galaxy, so almost more than 800 kiloparsec. So we classify this one WLM is very isolated galaxy. And the other galaxy are dwarf galaxy. For example, I see 1613 is also dwarf galaxy as WLM, but it's still very far, like 300-400 kiloparsec away. And then WLM is located really in the intergalactic space, very far from any other galaxy, especially the largest one. So a special property of this galaxy is his rotation curve, which was very clearly reviewed by the little things observation, the radio observation of neutral hydrogen H1, so published in 2007 by Kitty. So in the paper, he point out that the rotation curve different from the two side. On the approaching side, the amplitude of the rotation curve is only 30 kilometers per second, but on the other side, receding side, it may goes to 40 kilometers per second. And in that paper, they analyze the mass dynamic, total dynamic mass. They derived the two different mass, very different mass from both side, rotation curve. But the point is that if we say an object or a galaxy is rotating in equilibrium, I mean, rotating means it is in equilibrium, then we should expect the rotation curve is the same in both sides. So it already poses a problem if it is not symmetric. Later, these galaxies were studied by Lehmann in very detail, plus the kinematics of stars. As you can see from here, all the points are observed spectroscopically. They got velocity of this star. And they also derived the rotation curve of star in order to match the H1 result. In that case, they need to introduce a strong correction of asymmetric drift to match both components. Then this galaxy was studied in another two work, but using the same data, little since data. The later one, perhaps, I mean, since 2015, the data were reprocessed, I remember, by Hunter. But they found more or less the same result. Also, they put slightly away the asymmetric feature about in rotation curve. They try to symmetric the system. Next work in 2006, they do the same thing. They looking just to fit the full scale of the larger scale in the galaxy, also obtain a symmetric rotation curve. But this galaxy, when you look the little things data cube in detail, you will find many irregularities. For example, here I just simply loading the data. I didn't do any serious analysis, just look the data. So in the middle panel, you can see the H1 intensity mapped on the sky. This is a galaxy. And you can see already the irregularity structure, the bright structure is in curve and is not really aligned with the major axis. On the left panel, you can see the position velocity diagram along the declination direction. And you can still see the rotation, I mean, not rotation curve, you can see the velocity distribution is not really a symmetry first. And also the dispersion, for example, when you look at roughly the two sides, the dispersion of H1 is different. Of course, these are details. But one thing I would like to emphasize is that at least in this galaxy, the H1 component is not a single component, it's a complex system. And the morphology are also complex. When you compare to the morphology of stars, also complex, when you look at it, it is not really uniform, not regularly distributed. It is really an irregular galaxy, right? So actually we published a paper, we studied a little bit these things. We think this is a perturbed galaxy, it's not a simple galaxy. So one has to be careful to deduce the mass model from the velocities observed. In 2020, we have new data, different from the little things, which coming from Meerkat, which is a part of a Square Kilometer Array Telescope in the future. And in this paper, they studied the central part of the object, the derived very beautiful velocity field, and also the velocity dispersion map. And one can easily identify the central part has a low value, low amplitude of dispersion. The most dispersion is coming from the slightly outskirt in the central part. So there also we can compare to the this is on the right part. This is a HR alpha. I'm not 100% in green color. In this small panel, sorry, let's focus. I think in the red are HR alpha observation as this gray one, In the green are little since H1 observation. So we can see where a correlation between the star formation and the shape of H1. So perhaps the lacking of dispersion in the center is coming from the, is perturbed by the star formation. I'm sorry, I just forgot to mention one thing about this sigma in the center, because if we build a model of disk, a rotating model of a disk, and we project on the velocity map and the dispersion map, you will find a peak of dispersion in the center, because the object is rotating. So in the central part, you are expecting the mix of negative and positive velocity together. So you are expecting a peak in the center. This is for standard model. If the object is really in a perfect symmetric, virialized, relaxed system is rotating, you are expecting this. So this posed, again, the question, how we can, at which level we can be confident to derive the velocity, dynamical mass from its velocity theory, rotation curve. So just one result from another result from this paper, they also derived the symmetric rotation curve for different models. And now I'm going to introduce what's the evidence we found. So we continue to use this a new observation for Meerkat. And this time we look in the very deep, very weak emissions, but still have enough signal to noise ratio, more than five, something very confident, but we look very outskirts. And we found that there's many gas distributed in outside. And you can see on this, on the left part, you can see this cloud, and we identify this perhaps is a contamination or the H1 emission from the Majdanek stream. I should imagine an extreme MS. But on the other hand, this part corresponding to nothing else known, and which also seems linked directly to the object. So, and distributed in one direction. So this is a very special distribution of the gas outside of the galaxy. On the right panels, just to show the H1 spectrum of each cloud, because we can see clearly four clouds here, C1 to C4. And we can see the emissions real is a very strong signal. And we also derive the mass of this cloud taking the same distance of WLM. And totally we found, if we sum up this the mass of four cloud, we found the 6×10⁶ solar mass, and compared to the total H1 in the main body in the central part, it takes 10%. So as a result, we discover there's 10% of H1 cloud, H1 gas was offsetted, distributed in outside of the galaxy. So immediate question, what's that? Do we have a stellar counterpart, of this cloud? We can explain as an interaction, a release of interaction between galaxies or something else. And then the, we check all the possible data and from CFHT, from a lot of telescope. And finally, we found that Subaru has done a very good observation, cover a very large area compared to others in 2006. And we got three band, BVI band. And finally, we use the two band because we can calibrate its the photometry. And even using these two band, we try to identify the member star belonging to this galaxy with very simple criteria. First, we use the roundness of this each source to exclude extended source like galaxy, etc. We choose very bright galaxy, very bright stars. Actually here, the signal to noise ratio cutoff is, if I remember, is above 18, it's very bright. So that means source has been measured in very good condition. And then we plot a color diagram, color magnitude diagram to identify RGB branch. And then we found the RGB branch distribution in the space. And we can immediately find that we detect more stars in outside of the classic optical image. So here is the red dotted line. Just indicate you the point which are corresponding to each other in space. So you can see stars really outside. So we detected more member stars in our scope. And these are corresponding to some background, you can say. But at least around this ellipse or slightly outside this ellipse, you still can find the member stars for sure. And then next, we superpose these two maps. The H1 map discovered by Meerkat and the star detected by Subaru. We found there's a clear offset and there's a clear lacking of H1 in the left part, but the H1 gas is distributed towards the east and the north direction. And at this moment, we found we have the results from Gaia EDR3, who derived, for example, from the Bataclia and also Alamakunesh, who calculate the proper motion of this galaxy. So it is just opposite to the, in the opposite direction to the, to those four clouds. So at this moment, we confirm that this should be, most probably to be the run pressure effect. That's when the galaxy is moving in this, towards the bottom left direction, the run pressure due to the surrounding medium, whatever the density is, is pushing the gas outside of the galaxy. So this is evidence of the run pressure. But as I mentioned at the beginning, the object is located very far from any other galaxy. We know that the run pressure happened in a cluster of galaxy, for example. When you type the run pressure galaxy, you will find a lot in the Google. And we know that there could be run pressure nearby big galaxy like Milky Way, M31, you may have this effect because the potential of these large galaxies are deep. They are able to hold hot gas sufficiently. But this is very far distance to have this effect happened. This is the first time we discovered. Later, we did a simulation to verify if the idea works because that's just a conclusion from the phenomenon. And now we do the simulation to verify if it works. And so this is a figure in the paper I copied directly. So on the right part, you see the simulation result. It is really working. So you can see if there's a run pressure act on the galaxy, you can push away the gas from the center to the outskirts. At least this simulation just proves that the idea is working. So the discovered the four cloud could really result from run pressure. What is interesting is that to further explore this simulation there because it will give you the information of the galaxy, information of the velocity of the galaxy moving in the space, also the density of our intergalactic medium. So it's called IGM. So I'm going to, the time is short, I can go faster. So I can give you some idea about what the simulation has been done and what is going to explore in the future. So simulation has done using the code Gizmo, which is written by Philip Hopkins in US. And the technique we use that we build a cube of IGM. We put a uniform IGM inside, a cube of IGM by 500 kiloparsec. And we put uniform IGM with 10 to 6 kelvin, and we tested a different density. And here is just to say that because we want the galaxy moving in one direction, we just need a tunnel. And then we put 16 galaxies together. So each galaxy occupies a small tunnel, but the tunnel is quite large enough to not perturb the one to each other. There are some overlap, but very marginally effect. So we are very efficient to finding the geometry parameter space to experiment things. The other panel just zoom to let you show some detail about this simulation. And we also test the different initial condition. For example, many studies 30 and 40 kilometer per second in the rotation curve. This is consistent with the observation, as I mentioned in the beginning of Kepler's result. And we also test a low mass case. And we also run, let the galaxy run differently in the space velocity, because the measurement from Gaia indicate that the space velocity could be at 300 kilometers per second, plus minus 150. And this is respect to the Milky Way, not respect to the IGM, which we don't know, because we don't know the absolute difference between the Milky Way and the IGM, though it is perhaps a small. And this is a rotation curve that, I mean, is linked to the mass, because we have to put a dark matter in the galaxy to arrive to the rotation curve, different rotation curve level. So all these initial conditions are with dark matter. Only the low mass one has less dark matter, not too much. And okay, I can skip this one. It's just information that we can extract it. Here you just show one simulation result. It indicates the galaxy moving the bottom left, and then the run pressure is just inverted direction. If the galaxy is moving, you can see this gas is slowly move out. So the effect is real. You can always see the deficient or lacking of H1, H1 is in blue, in the left part of the galaxy. And to explore more results from the simulation, is very interesting, because the simulation indicate that if the condition different, for example, some the condition will give you very long H1 tail that's lagging very far from the galaxy. It depends on the lifetime of this H1 cloud. It depends on temperature of the IGM, it depends on density IGM, it depends on the velocity of the object. It's very interesting. So on the right part, you can see that when the gas is stripped from the galaxy, can be analyzed into hot phase, which can be detected in the quasar absorption in the background. Also, perhaps X-ray, perhaps it's too much difficult because the density, I mean, the emissivity is too low. By exploring these simulations, we could ask many questions, including the dark matter of the galaxy. So here, just one result statistic from our simulation, more than 120 simulations. So from top to down is the difference is the initial condition, the mass of the galaxy. Top one, you have a rotation curve go to 40, and middle one 30, and the bottom one is low mass. And what is related is that in the massive galaxy, in the condition, you found a very few fraction of H1 stripped outside. If you compare in the bottom, you can see, I just recopy again. When we measure the 10% of H1 outside of the galaxy, it is in this blue box. And we do the same measurement in the observation, in the simulation. We will find if we put a massive galaxy, a massive condition for WLM, we found very few percent. And the 30, in the middle one, also not too much H1 exists. But when we go to low mass condition, we found some interesting range of stripped gas, but still not sufficient. So this let us imagine perhaps we need to go to even lower mass. Then it will involve the question of the dark matter problem in the galaxy. We have to, one has to find the a model or full explanation to explain the observed 10% H1, also to explain the rotation curve in the observation. So this is currently this is a difficult part. But it is very interesting to continue explore. And another question is also interesting because we found one example. Only this is a single example, and immediately we're questioning of how about the others, because to verify this effect we need a deeper and wider field coverage. Deeper observation. This is a, and now we have submitted the two proposal to observe those galaxies that are far away from Miku and M31, but still closer enough to obtain the Gaia proper motion. Then we are able to verify it's one pressure or something else. It's very interesting though. Okay, so I think I will stop here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Yaming. So I don't know if there are questions. So please ask.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Thanks for the talk. I'm very interested in this topic. I have a question on how you measure the velocity of the galaxy with respect to the Milky Way. Is this a line of sight velocity, or takes also into account the velocity on the plane of the sky? Because yeah. You know, run pressure is rho v squared, so it's critical is the velocity of the galaxy within the medium.
Yeah, exactly. So about velocity, we have line of sight velocity respect to the sun. We have the results from Gaia, then proper motion on sky, and we know the direction. Then we can know how the galaxy is moving respect to the Milky Way. This is one thing. About the effect of run pressure, we have one freedom, the freedom is coming from the unknown motion between Milky Way and the IGM. Because and imagine that the Milky Way and the WLM both are in the same IGM, for example, a big medium of intergalactic medium. But we don't know how the Milky Way is moving respect to IGM. Then we don't know how WLM is moving exactly in the IGM. Then the freedom is coming from here, is the exact link to your what you mentioned, that run pressure direction is linked to exactly this velocity. So for the moment, we run simulation to test this freedom. The other are fixed, for example, position angle, geometry. We have two options of geometry. Inclination, and we studied all the combination of this freedom in the simulation. So we found a narrow range of solution, and which indicate that as actually the velocity, space velocity of WN respect to the Milky Way is not far, is not that different. How to say, it's not that far from the real one respect to the IGM. Sorry, perhaps I didn't explain clearly. Yeah, you see what I mean?
If we
take the space velocity of WLM respect to the Milky Way as the velocity respect to IGM, we are not that far. Because we test the different possibilities, the range is not is narrow to obtain the morphology of stripped H1 and the stripping effect, etc.
I think it seems reasonable because you might have the interaction of the galaxy with the IGM might be the halo of the Milky Way, actually. You know, there is a set of simulations done by Lucio Mayer, 2006, where they indeed simulated galaxies crossing the halo of a massive galaxy in the local group, and they expect exactly this kind of mechanism.
How to say, WLM is very far from, WLM is located 930 kiloparsec from Milky Way. So, you cannot have a Milky Way halo extended further than 300 or so. You can't expect any. So this is why I emphasize at the beginning to isolate galaxy. Within 800 kiloparsec, there's no big galaxy as Milky Way and M31. So this immediately excludes the effect from the hot halo of any galaxy.
Okay, thank you. Other comments or questions? Maybe I have a question on the slide just before. Can you go to slide 24? Yeah, so because you say from observation, we see the 10% of hydrogen
strict.
But in the simulation, it seems to be hard to get such a ratio. And if I remember also correctly, from the observation, the velocity, the rotation curve, you get like 35 or something like that kilometer per second. Between 30 and 40.
Your last point is, I didn't capture the last word sentence about the g velocity.
Yeah, so the rotation curve in the iteration is about between 30 and 40 kilometers per second. What could be what are your idea to explain this let's say this tension?
Yeah.
What could you add in the simulation, for example?
The key point is here, the H1 in the observation, the H1 stripped outside is 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Then it requires that if we propose a simulation, we have to reproduce this fraction.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting point in linked to this one is that the heating of the gas. So when the gas experiences the run pressure, run pressure push apply two effects. One is to push the gas outside of the galaxy. And second is to, when the galaxy is pushing outside, the gas will be heated because it's a dynamic pressure. It adds energy to the cold gas. Then it will heat the gas. Then the H1 will be heat and to ionize the phase. Then they are not H1. There's a stripped mass, but in hot phase, they are not observing H1. You see what I mean? Then the fraction between the residue H1 and the ionized is linked to the condition of run pressure stripping, which involve density, temperature of IGM, also linked to the potential of the small galaxy, because imagine that if the galaxy is massive, so heavy, then it is hard to remove the gas from the deep potential. That means you have to push a lot. The run pressure has to push a lot. Push a lot means you heat a lot the system. But then you left a small H1. This is what happened in the high mass model. 40 kilometers per second, which means the potential is deep, the object is heavy. When you want to remove the gas from the system, it can be removed, but will be heated into an ionized surface. Then you observe very small fraction in H1. And this is why when you go to low mass system, 20 kilometers per second, you have a higher fraction of H1. But 20 kilometers is not fitting the rotation curve. observe the rotation curve. This is a point.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I see in the chat.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So there is another question by Matt. And I see. So Matt, yeah. Please, maybe. And
I mean, Annie had a couple of questions in the chat first. Maybe she should ask them out loud.
Okay.
Well, I can read and answer. So first the question, what kind of pressure do you observe in the strip, the gas? Do you see any star formation in the stripped part? So stripped gas is located outside, and which is consistent with simulation. We make sure this is a gas stripped from the galaxy, in our scenario. Then we don't see any star formation in the stripped gas, and we also didn't find any stellar counterpart from the subaru observation corresponding to this cloud. So star formation, you need a much higher mass as we see for other bigger galaxy, but this one is too small. The stripped gas total mass is too small, 10 to a few 10 to 6 in total. So it's not sufficient to activate star formation. It's too low density. This was the idea for Subaru. This was the idea. The second one. Okay, it's good. Claude. Okay. Which in a minute. You think observed no SF is due to the evolution effect? It seems that observing no SF. Okay, you're still asking the no SF in the cloud. I do. Okay, thank you. Fonso and Cloud, you answer the question. Any other questions?
So I think Matt and also the question.
Yeah, so I'm curious, we talked a bit about velocity, but I'm curious about the plausibility of the intergalactic gas density. So this must be, so can you go back to the density that you're assuming in your simulations?
This one? Or?
Yeah. So 10 to the minus 5. So I don't usually think, a redshift zero. So I lack the information. I can't remember. But basically, this is a very high density, right? So is this a plausible density for the ambient medium in an environment like this? Because this is one of the questions that's critical, right?
Actually,
go ahead.
Okay. Actually, the first value listed here, 2.9 10 to minus 6 per centimeter cube, is the value inferred from the observation from recent fast radio burst observation. So this is really a measurement, but with a larger uncertainty. Then in our discussion, we explore the other possibility of very high density. I mean, 2.9 10 to minus 5, this is in almost becoming impossible for IGM, otherwise you close the universe. But in simulation, we can do the test. So the first value, 2.9 10 to minus 6, is the value observed, close to the one we're expecting.
Yeah, so you don't need to talk about cosmology, right? So you don't need that to reach the mean density of the universe. I don't think you'd expect to reach the mean density of the universe in such a, cosmologically small distance, right? So the density peak we're living in is probably continues out for a megaparsec anyway. So I don't think you should be considering the cosmological value. The question is, what is plausible in the context of large-scale structure on this kind of scale? And I think my understanding is that it's quite plausible for it to be overdense. The mm-hmm. question is how overdense, right? And for this, maybe you should look to, as cosmological simulations of the environment of Milky Way and see what kind of densities are expected. I mean, it still seems quite dense, but, you know, the density fluctuations, maybe it's hitting a clump of gas.
Yeah, you're right. And this is one possibility. But we also realize this is when we go to higher density, you also cause a problem that I just explained a second ago, the heating of the system. Then you don't recover the 10%. I mean, you have gas stripped, but you will be go to an ionized phase. I didn't say this is a conclusion. This is the information we know from the simulation, but it works to continue to refine the simulation, to study more condition. For example, simulation need to also verify all the aspects if it's working perfectly right, and to verify all of this. So what you mentioned, to go to high density, in my mind, immediately I was, I lose H1. This is what I want to say. So, but clearly it was to explore further.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends critically on the temperature, and the temperature could even be a little bit higher. There are, you know, it's the variety of conditions that one needs to explore, I think, and you need sort of resimulated cosmological simulations to understand maybe the variance of the conditions that and what how unlikely they are. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Thanks.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, it's on slide number 22. You predict that some of the gas get ionized. You were mentioning of the pressure. I think it's what we do observe in cluster is more a mixing of a cold phase with a hot phase, which heat up the cold phase. And we do observe ionized gas in tails from pressure stripped galaxies. So I was wondering whether you have an estimate of the surface brightness that you have of these tails, because if it is of the order of a few 10 to the minus 18 air per second per square centimeter and a second square, it's something which is observable.
I remember it's not exactly, but much lower than this one, perhaps 10 to 16 or 15. I'm not sure, but for sure it's low, because first, the effect of what we discover here is very rare, very low density case. The object is very small, it's a dwarf galaxy, and the IGM is a very low density. So total effect to the heated gas is not too much. One thing you can sure that this is a much different, much lower than what we have seen in cluster, for sure.
Okay, thanks.
I think François.
Yes, perhaps just to react to the Alessandro and Matt question. Alessandro, the very big surprise of the result that Yangbin present is the fact that the object is really very far from any big galaxy, obviously a cluster of galaxies. So we were not expecting at all this for WLM. Nobody was expecting that WLM can get such a quite strong effect, because the 10% of the mass to be removed is not a small effect. That's the first thing. The second thing is more to answer to you, Matt. Matt, I think your question is very important. In fact, WLM is part of the local filament. And if you look to the Cosmo 3D result, where they have been able to test the density of the different structure, it seems that the local filament is comparable to other filaments in the local universe. So if correct, the impact of the result, but it's only one object, so we cannot say much, many things. But if correct, the impact might be to have a larger bionic content in the filament. That's a possibility, because to have clumpy distribution of the gas in such low density and probably large temperature is quite difficult in one hand. So it may go toward higher density of the filament in the local universe. But it's only one observation, it's only one point. So we need more.
So, but a difficult part of that argument is the statement, how much clumping is there? And it's quite difficult to simulate well, is it not? Right. So it depends on the goals of the simulation and how well it follows density. And yep. there is a degree of sort of clumping and, you know, small scale structure in various intergalactic structures, yep. but it's difficult to...
The difficulty with clumpiness is if you have hot temperature, it's very difficult to have a clumpy medium. That's the main difficulty, I would say. But you're right, that's something that has to be tested because clearly it depends where the gas is coming from. So you're right. I mean, but it may open a new area and that's why we are asking more time on Meerkat with Claude and with many other participants of these studies, and as well on FAST and some... I think this is interesting. We are too surprised by the result, to be honest.
Yeah, so can I ask a quick dumb question about this? So why does the temperature need to be 10 to the 6? Why can't it be lower?
That's a very good question. Yangbin, I think you're better than me to answer.
Excuse me, I didn't capture. Could you repeat?
So one of the points that Francois was saying is that at this temperature, there's not that much clumping necessarily, or it's hard to create clumping. I'm saying for the ambient medium, why 10 to the 6 Kelvin? Why not a bit lower?
But it can be lower. 10 to 6 is just something people usually took for IGM because... I mean, we don't have too much idea about this temperature. Only for a few cases, for the temperature is more, 10 to 6 is more about the temperature of a hot halo around the galaxy, around mm-hmm. big galaxy. So if you go further, the temperature can be lower.
Right, exactly.
It can worse the situation because lower density will give you a more efficient run pressure, more efficient heating. You will go to worst case.
Really? But I mean, the part of the question is the right balance of run pressure. So maybe in the middle, there are a different set of quantities that give a certain temperature and density that generate the right amount of stripping.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, thermotropy affects the run pressure, but because when you have a higher density in the IGM, if it is go to low temperature, you will shorten the lifetime of each one. Unless I'm wrong.
I think this question may, I mean, it's very important.
Matt. Yeah, we discussed it several times, but I should have found the formula.
Yes, we really need to enlarge possibilities in the medium. And I think, lower temperature in principle will let you with less gas ionize in principle.
Principle, on the other hand, to assume 10 to 6 is also reasonable because the gas in the IGM in the galactic space, they should be hot and the low density. Otherwise, they have to cool. Because when you go to a certain density threshold and lower temperature, the system will cool rapidly, right? Mm-hmm. But when you above a certain condition, 10 to 6 Kelvin, 10 to minus 3 or 4, it is difficult to cool again. This is a cooling curve. The efficiency of cooling drop.
So, I mean, I think in any case, you're right to be talking about the warm part intergalactic medium, right? Because these are all sort of shock heated conditions in overdense environments at this redshift. So, but then the warm part intergalactic medium can be like 10 to the 5.5. maybe, or even a little bit less. So, I mean, these are the typical conditions of the at these redshifts and at these densities. So I think there's some room for tuning with the temperature, whether it's enough and what it does, I don't know.
I agree. We didn't free temperature this time, but we should test. There should be a range, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's some there's some pre-existing cosmological simulations that can help as well. I think.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Interesting. Thanks.
I don't see any other comment or question. If anyone has still another question. Otherwise, I think we can thank again Yanbin, and next week. So I think next week we should have Massimo Pietroni about exploiting symmetry principle for precision test of the standard model of cosmology. And so thank you again to Yanbin and to everyone.
Okay, thank you everybody.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.